Live in our hearts, fill this body, stir our spirits, help us serve. Walk with our feet to the hurting. Let us be you, revive your church. Let us be you on this earth.
Well, good morning, Mission Viejo Church of Christ. What a wonderful day to be in the house of the Lord. There ought to be a smile on each one of your faces this morning because God is good all the time and all the time. Let's try that one more time. God is good all the time and all the time. Amen. What a good job. To our visitors, I want to say thank you for being here with us this morning. With the plethora of different churches in this region, I find it so special that you would come our way to worship with us this morning. So thank you so much for that. And as Aaron mentioned in his announcements, there is a card in the back pew if you're visiting with us, or even if you're a member and there is a need that you might have, we would encourage you to take that card out, fill it out. Maybe you want to place membership here. Maybe you need prayer. Whatever your needs or concerns are, fill that card out. Give it to me in the back of the auditorium. Give it to one of our shepherds or put it in that box out in the foyer. And we'd love to do our best to meet your needs. Before I begin this morning, I got a couple of announcements, and I'm not as good as Aaron with announcements, so bear with me. But if you have not taken a picture, a church picture yet, we would encourage you to connect with Gary and to take a picture, and you're going to take it outside to the left of the building over here. Secondarily to that, if you are a member and you have taken a picture and you haven't taken it over next to that wall and you did it out in some other location, we want you to retake that picture over there in that corner because it looks really, really good, and we're going to put that up on the church, I guess, picture board out front. So if you can do that for us, that'd be greatly, greatly appreciated. The other thing that I want to mention is next Sunday is a very, very, very special Sunday. It's a parent dedication, but our theme for the entire Sunday is what I entitled Dedication Day. So what we're asking you to do is if you have a child that was born over the last year and a half, right? Please come to church that Sunday. If you know a neighbor or a friend, this might be a good way to get them plugged into a church. Come and we'll pray for the parents and pray for the children. We're inviting parents from over at the Marguerite Christian School to come as well. And we're going to dedicate our parents and their children to the Lord, that the Lord may bless them as the parents work hard to raise their children in the right way. So next Sunday is a very, very special Sunday. I'm encouraging all of you to bring a family member, bring a friend, because next Sunday is Dedication Sunday or Dedication Day. And with the sermon, what I'm going to ask you to do next Sunday is I'm going to ask you to dedicate yourself to something over the next 15 months. And when I say something, basically I'm asking you to dedicate yourself to some kind of ministry within the church. Maybe you need to be more connected to the church. I would ask you to dedicate yourself to being here every single Sunday morning, if at all possible. Maybe you want to be more dedicated to a ministry. Next Sunday, we're going to ask you to dedicate yourself to a ministry for 15 months and et cetera, so forth and so on. So next Sunday is a very, very special Sunday. In August of 1966, might go to that next slide. In the August of 1966, a groundbreaking construction project was underway in New York City. The architects of the time were attempting to build the tallest two buildings in the entire city, commonly known as the Twin Towers. They were attempting to build these buildings, and these buildings were going to serve as a beacon of hope and prosperity in the iconic, and serve as the iconic backbone as what is known as the World Trade Center. But all of us remember that terrible and fateful day in 2001 where those towers came under attack, right? Now, I can remember where I was. It was just like yesterday when that second plane hit that tower, and then shortly after, the towers collapsed. And the towers both fell, and now the location where they fell and collapsed is commonly known as Ground Zero, right? Ground Zero. So the title of the message this morning is Ground Zero. The Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth as the great and perfect architect. And he has built the greatest structure that the world has ever known. And that structure is known as the church. But much like the towers of New York City, the church has come under attack by the greatest and most terrible terrorist of them all, Satan. And what's interesting about the history of the Twin Towers is that we all remember the attack on September 11, 2001, but we often forget that those two towers had come under attack ever since they were created. In 1975, there was a huge fire that almost took out the towers. In 1993, there was a bombing. In 1998, there was a robbery. And then 2001, there was a plane crash. And what I want to say to you this morning is that ever since the Lord's church was established in AD 33, on the day of Pentecost, the church has been under attack. Satan has been trying to destroy the kingdom on earth. Even our own church here at Mission Viejo, the prince of the world, Satan, the devil, has been trying to destroy our fellowship. That's his MO. That's how he operates. And if you think about our church and any church in particular, there are always ebbs and flows. Sometimes the building, the structure within the church is performing very well. Members are being added. The church is growing. And then something happens and we lose some people. And then it's built up again over the next series of years or so. And then something else happens and then it shrinks and so forth and so on. I want to say this to you this morning. That is not out of the ordinary. So don't get discouraged. Every church on earth that calls themselves a church has to deal with the ebbs and flows of growing, atrophy, attacks. That's the nature of the church, and it happens. But we have this promise from the Lord in Matthew 16:18, don't we? Upon this rock, I will build my church. And you know what Jesus says? The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. No matter how hard Satan tries, he will not destroy the Lord's church. No matter how hard Satan tries, he will not destroy the Mission Viejo Church of Christ. We aren't going anywhere. I want you to know that this morning. So I put on a tie this morning because I've got some hard stuff for us this morning. So I figured I'd soften the blow by wearing a tie, right? Thank you. Appreciate that. I've been at Mission Viejo now full time for about 3 months, right? And I tell you what, the church has gone through a lot of transitions. For those of you who have been around for a while, and for those of you who are new, this is good to hear this. The church has gone under a lot of different transitions. Your beloved preacher, Steve Smith, whom I talked to about a week ago, number one, he says hello and he misses everybody, right? But he transitioned out. And it hurts when a good preacher that is loved transitioned out. It stinks. It's hard, right? But guess what? It happens. God calls people to different places at different times. There are a season for this and a season for that, but the transition happened. And some people decided to transition out, and that happens in most churches, right? That happens. And then over the course of time, some more people transition out, and that's just the nature of the church sometimes. So I come in about 3 months ago, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and getting ready to get into this work. And I remember I was in my office for about 2 weeks. And then here comes another transition. The construction project begins back there in the other side of the church building. So I was in my office for about 2 weeks. I just nailed up pictures and put up my diplomas, and I was all excited. And then, bam, transition. They took out the carpet, they took out my desk, my computer, and I remember me and Alicia, we were like huddled in a corner. We can do it. We can make it. It's so hard, but we can get through this. All right? I didn't have a place to call home. I mean, I felt homeless. I didn't know where to work on my sermon. I was up in the tower back over there. I mean, it was tough, right, with all this transition. I said, man. But you know what Alicia said to me, and I said to Alicia, we're going to hang in there. We're going to hang in there because it's going to get better. God knows what he's doing, and it's going to get better. And I love what the elder said. They said, Jason, that new construction project, it's a representation of what's happening at this church. Rebuilding. And we're going to build a strong structure here that's going to last. And I love it. And we're now gaining that momentum. So I'm excited about the direction our church is going. But some people say this. They say, Jason, I feel like our church right now is at ground zero. We're at ground zero. And I don't know if we're at ground zero or not. Some people say, well, our attendance is kind of low right now, and we're struggling just a bit. And they say, we're at ground zero. What? I don't know if we are or not, but I will say this about ground zero. The interesting thing and the exciting thing about ground zero is if you are at ground zero, you get to rebuild. And when you rebuild, it takes people of strong character and strong backbone to rebuild. And guess what? I think that's what we have at this church right now. So I see something powerful here, church. I think over the next 15 months, God is going to do some amazing things here at this church. I want to look at a couple of passages of Scripture this morning. The first is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 9 through 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 9 through 16. Mike, go ahead and go to that next slide. I want to say this. This is probably something that you haven't heard a preacher say before. And you may disagree with the theology just a bit. But remember, I have a tie on. You can't fuss with me this morning. The church is a building. Wait a minute now. What'd you say, preacher? The church is not a building. Yes, it is. The church is a building. Well, what do you mean by that? How can you say that confidently? The church is a building. That's right, it is. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 9 through 15. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's what? Building. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one of us should be careful how he builds. For no one can lay any foundation other than one that is already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation using gold or silver or costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. The church is a building, but it is not one of brick and mortar, but of people that stand firm on the rock of our confession. And our confession found again in Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 18. The rock, right? Who do people say that I am? Peter said, you know what? You're Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, upon that rock of confession, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What I love so much about that text is it reminds us that the church exists for Christ's glory and not our self-satisfaction. That's why the church is here. For Christ's glory and not our self-satisfaction. But I think culture has it all confused and all tied up and all mixed up. Because the church is for me. But that's not what Scripture teaches. And what I love so much about this text is it reminds us that we are God's building material. Hal is not here this morning, and it's probably good because I was going to bug him this morning. So, Over the past couple of, weeks or so, we've been doing some construction. And one day I was, thinking of this sermon illustration and thinking about what I was going to preach on. I just walked outside and I was looking around and I saw some construction material on the ground outside. So the first thing that I saw was this piece of concrete right here, right? This piece of concrete. And I looked at this concrete and I said, this reminds me of my muscles just a little bit. But my wife said, no, it's more like your head. You're hard-headed. So I was looking at this concrete, and I picked it up, and I was feeling it and trying to twist it and break it. I don't know why. I was, though, right? And I thought to myself, there's nothing that I can do to break this concrete. It's hard. It's tough, right? And that's what the foundation is of this church is built upon, this hard concrete stuff, right? It's hard. It's unbreakable. And then I went outside, and I saw some more building material. And I saw this piece of wood. I said, that's interesting. This piece of wood is used for building material as well, but you really can't put any pressure on this right here. You can't really put much pressure and much stress on it, because if you do, guess what will happen? It'll break. You see how flimsy that is? I know I'm strong, but it's pretty flimsy as well. You, Thor. I was able to break that pretty easy. So the question that I have for you this morning is, what kind of building material are you? Are you this? Can we count on you? Are you going to be tough? Are you going to be strong? Or are you this? But you know what I see when I look out in the church? I see this. That's what I see this morning. When I look out at you guys, I see this. And that's what gives me hope. It makes me so excited about the direction of our church. Some people say, well, Jason, the same people that we had a year ago are not here today. That's all right. God knows what he's doing. We'll pray for them. We'll bless them, encourage them. But guess what? You're here for God's purpose. And he wants to build upon you. But in order for God to build upon you, you got to be tough. And your stability will be tested. That's what the scripture says here. And the fire will test the quality of each man's work. You know, whenever you're a Christian and you're trying to live a life worthy of the calling, your faith will be tested. That's a part of the process. And what a lot of people do is when their faith gets tested, they break. And they want to leave the church. They want to leave their faith, neglect their faith, and they move on or transition out. Your work, your faith will be tested. And God wants to use you, so you got to learn how to be a rock for him. You are God's temple. And what I love so much, again, about this text, and if you look at verse number 16, God looks out for his own. He's not going to let you go through anything that you can't handle, but he wants you to be tough. He wants you to be solid. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all else is sinking sand. The wise man built his house upon the rock. We have this idea of rocks throughout Scripture. And God wants us to be rocks, strong, tough, vigilant, resilient for him. And I think if we have that type of faith, church, we can move mountains, as the Scripture says. So I just encourage you this morning to be tough. Another text that I want to look at is found in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Verses 19 through 22. Ephesians chapter 2, 19 through 22. And here's what the Bible says. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. And in him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together and becoming a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. I love this text so much because it tells us that God's Spirit lives in us. And we are God's building. And it reminds me that God is in this place with us this morning. He hadn't left us, church. He's right here. Might even be sitting right next to you. God is in this place with us. And he wants us to rely on him. Jesus is the chief cornerstone. And what I know about architect is nothing, but what I heard is that you have to have a cornerstone, and that cornerstone has to be tough, and all the pressure gets put on that cornerstone. So you know what Jesus says? When your faith gets weak, when life is hard, when life is difficult, put it on me. I can handle it. I can deal with it. Pray to me. Read the scripture. Get involved in mission work. Put your cares and your burdens on me, because I can handle it. Don't deal with it yourself. But sometimes we neglect to do that. We put all the stress on ourselves and we try to be stronger than what we are. But Jesus says, give it to me. You belong to the household of God. But I want to say this. I think you belong to the household of God at Mission Viejo. You belong to the household of God, yes. But I think you belong to the household of God at Mission Viejo. God wants you here. And I think that's why you're here this morning. One more passage, and then really I'll be done this morning. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. There's something interesting about this passage of scripture that I don't know if we take time to study or look at, but when's the last time you've seen a stone with legs walking around? If you do, we may need to talk afterwards, right? I don't know about you. I've never seen a stone just get up and start walking around, because stones are dead, right? They don't move. They're objects that just kind of sit and don't do anything. But what I love here is the juxtaposition of stones that are hard and immovable laid right beside stones that are living and active. So how can we do that? How can we be stones but living stones at the same time? The scripture says here we need to be living stones. But sometimes I see a lot of dead stones. There's nothing more boring and uninspiring than looking at a rock. Am I right about it? When's the last time you just went out on an adventure and just said, look at that rock, that's just amazing. Wow. You probably don't do that, right? But if you saw that rock stand up and start walking, you might go, wait a second, what's going on here? Maybe some bad Taco Bell or, it'll do it to you. I know. But Jesus wants us to be living stones. One of the things that we used to have to do in the Army, if you've ever served time in the military, is when we would get in trouble, our drill sergeants used to go and make us separate rocks. So we'd have to go into this big field and there's just a big pile of rocks and we have to pull out the big rocks and the little rocks, the dark rocks and the light rocks, and we'd have to all put them into piles. And it was just the most boring assignment ever. And sometimes in the church, there are people here that are just dead rocks. We come to church and when we sing, we don't give it our all. When we pray, we don't give it our all. When we serve, we don't give it our all. And I wonder if God's looking at us as a bunch of dead rocks sometimes. What the scripture says here is we have to be living stones. Jesus calls us to be living stones. And it's really an echo from Exodus chapter 17 and verse number 6. You remember what happened? The children of Israel were walking around the desert upset and complaining, and Moses went up to a rock. And what he did to the rock is he spoke to the rock, he hit the rock different times, different seasons, but nonetheless what happened is when that rock was hit or it was spoken to, what came out of the rock? Water. Now how can something so fluid, something so life-giving come out of something that is just so dead? It's called the power of God, that's how. In the same way, we've got to be strong people, but yet life-giving at the same time. It reminds me of Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 16. You remember what the Bible says there? be shrewd as serpents, but harmless as doves. Be as shrewd as serpents, but harmless as doves. How can you call us to be that way, Lord? What I love about what God is trying to teach us through Jesus is that as people of God, we've got to be strong. We've got to be tough. We can't let anything discourage us from our faith. When people are mistreating us, misusing us, when the church feels like it's not a good place for us to be because we're discouraged by other people, the scripture says, you be as shrewd as serpents, but harmless as doves. In other words, be rocks, but be life-giving at the same time. And again, church, when I look around this morning, that's what I see. I see a bunch of strong, tough rocks. And we're going to be doing a lot of building here at this church over the next 15 months. And I'm so happy that you're here because I see the foundation here from which we're going to build upon. The story goes that there were two church members. They were deacons, and they were out fishing. They brought a new Christian with them, a new disciple with them. And the deacons were out on the boat, and they were just talking about the work at the church, and they were out fishing, and a strong wind came by, and it blew one of the deacon's hats off his head. So you know what the deacon did? He got out of the boat and walked on the water and went to go get his hat. And this new Christian was like, man, this deacon must be filled with the Spirit. I mean, how does he do this? He's a special, magnificent, spiritual guy to be able to walk on water, right? So the deacon got back into the boat. They were fishing again. Another strong wind came by, and it blew the other deacon's hat off his head and into the water. That second deacon got out of the boat, walked onto the water, and went and picked up his hat and got back into the boat. The new Christian was like, wow, these guys belong to a magnificent, fantastic church. They're really spiritual men to be able to walk on water. So the new Christian said, you know what? I'm going to try that. So he stepped out of the boat, and right when he stepped out of the boat, he began to sink and was coughing up water and couldn't swim, and the deacons had to rescue him and bring him back onto the boat. And the new Christian was thinking, how did you guys do that? How were you able to walk on water? You're so spiritual to be able to do that. And the deacons looked at each other. They said, we probably should have told him about the sandbar on the right side of the boat. I tell that story to say this. Oftentimes, we think that Christian people are superhuman spiritual giants, right? Like we've got all the right answers. We're just so spiritual and just so holy. But I want to remind you that we are all broken, frail human beings just trying to do the best that we could do. And when you come into the church, you have to realize that because it's really discouraging when you don't see that. But that's the makeup of the church. We're all just trying our best. Sometimes we make mistakes. Other times we do well. But guess what? We're all just broken people trying to do the best that we can do here. So give everybody a break. Let it go. And let's be tough, right? Living stones. A minister gave an unusual sermon one day. Just really odd. He was using a peanut to make several important points about the wisdom of God in nature. And one of the members greeted him at the door and said, very interesting sermon, preacher. I never expected to learn so much from a nut. This morning, hopefully you learned a little bit more about what God calls us to be in the church. Hopefully you learned a little bit more about this whole idea of rebuilding and where we're going in this church. Buckle your seatbelts because we've got some exciting things happening over the next 15 months. And what you're going to see is you're going to see people coming in. They're going to be filling up this place. You're going to be like, But what I love so much is that you're on the groundbreaking level to really build upon this church here. Rebuilding, go to that next slide, that last slide. I want to say this about rebuilding and then I'll step down. You know, rebuilding takes time, doesn't it? You know, it's been about 6-7 years for this tower to be built at Ground Zero. It took a long time. You know, first of all, it took about 3 years for planning. They had to sit down. They had to say, okay, what are we going to do? How are we going to build this structure? And then from there, they started building. And it's been about 6 or 7 years, and guess what? They're still not done. Still not done. What I want to say is this about the work of the church. Sometimes rebuilding takes a while. But guess what? These people didn't give up, did they? They didn't quit. They didn't say, it's taking too long, and I don't see much improvement. I'm done. No, what they had here is they had some people of character, some people of resilience that said, you know what? We're going to stay the course until this thing is built. We're not going to get discouraged. We're not going to quit. We're not going to give up until this thing is complete. I'm asking the same thing from you, church. Will you be a stone? Will you be tough? Will you be life-giving at the same time? Will you stay the course as we continue to build up the work of the church here at Mission Viejo? And I already know the answer to that. I'm looking at you this morning, and I think the answer is yes. So again, thank you so much for being here and being with us. You're on the verge of some groundbreaking, powerful ministry here, and I don't even know if you know it yet. This morning, we've got an invitation song selected, and if there is anyone here that has been discouraged, that has been maybe the wrong piece of building material, this message is for you. God needs you to be tough. He needs you to be strong, but he also needs you to be life-giving at the same time. You got to have some backbone, but you got to smile with it at the same time, church. If you've been falling short in that area and you've been broken, this invitation is for you. Come forward. We'll pray for you. We'll pray with you that God strengthens you, makes you strong, so when you get tested, you'll say, you know what? I'm okay. I can brush that off. Maybe there's someone here that's not a Christian, and you're ready to give your life over to the kingdom. This invitation is for you. We've got a baptistry ready, and we'll baptize you today, and you'll be added to the church because I think God wants you here. Whatever your needs or concerns are, won't you come together?